Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
If you have a Bible, can you turn to Matthew chapter 4? And if you're near anybody with a Bible and you'd like to read it, or somebody around you doesn't have a Bible, maybe they would like to share yours. So just Matthew's Gospel. Okay, Matthew chapter 4. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, your word is relevant to each one of us here today, that it's living and powerful, and that it has the ability to bring us into your power and into your will. And so we pray, Lord, that this word will affect change in us, that we won't just hear it, but it will work so powerfully in us that it will cause something different to work through us. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 4, verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, or is at hand." Jesus came to the earth, and at 30 years old, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he came with a mission to bring the kingdom of heaven into the earth through himself. Jesus is the Son of God, but he became man, anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit, to come and bring about such a change on the earth that people wouldn't even know or understand how great the purpose of God is for the earth. And so Jesus came actually to bring the things that exist in heaven into earth. He actually came to change the earth with the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus starts off his message with this one word, repent. Now, many of us might have a negative mindset about that word. The word to repent means to turn around or to change direction and focus. Jesus wants all of us to change and have regret for our past sins and failure. That's very much part of the message of repentance, to be sorry for what we've done, our sins. But repentance doesn't just leave us with that sorrowful kind of mindset. It begins with being sorry, but it's to turn your whole life around, to change the way you think for the better, into something positive. So Jesus said, repent, because the most positive presence and power is here right now. So he didn't say, repent, you miserable sinners, and that's all you'll ever be. He says, repent, because the most amazing opportunity for you is here now through the person of Jesus Christ. But I think we understand the importance of repentance. The change of your mind, the change of your view, the change of perspective that needs to come into your and my mind. Because sometimes I think the biggest problem we have in life is our minds. Because our minds are so locked into what we see in the world around us. And Jesus says, if you change your mindset, you're going to be able to enter into all the good things that I've got for you. View life in a different way. Start to see things different because the presence of Jesus is here. God himself is here. And his kingdom is here. Now, what does that mean? How do we unpack that? Well, in heaven, there are no negative experiences. There are only good things. In heaven, there's only health, power to be happy, full of joy. The climate of heaven is fullness of life, the best quality of life possible. And Jesus said, I haven't come just to leave it up there in heaven when you die. I've come to bring heaven in the here and now. I've come to bring a quality of life that you wouldn't even have thought possible for you. But unless you change the way you think, You can't come into it. You can't come into all the amazing good things that are here in the person and presence of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you read the Gospels, but there was a man who did follow Jesus right to the end of his life. And he became what the Bible says is an apostle. And this man's name was Peter. And the first time that Peter met Jesus was in the local synagogue. Jesus was there. And I don't know, something about Jesus must have attracted Peter and said, I actually wouldn't mind having you around for lunch. Said to his wife, shall we have them for lunch? Imagine having Jesus for lunch. Brilliant. And so Jesus went to the house and the mother-in-law wasn't well. That was the first thing that was a problem. And so Jesus rebuked the fever that the mother-in-law had. And she got up and served him. So recovered immediately from what was causing her to lie down flat, that Peter went, I think I need to change my mind about this guy. That was the first mindset that got changed. His mother-in-law got healed. There shall be no mother-in-law jokes. Even your mother-in-law healed is the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus was teaching out in the open by the Sea of Galilee, where Peter had gone fishing all the night before, hadn't caught anything. And Jesus is teaching there in the early morning, must have been early morning teaching, by the Sea of Galilee. Crowds are streaming to hear Jesus' teaching. And Peter and his kind of partners in the business were mending their nets and trying to get everything ready for the next night's fishing. Probably a little bit downcast because, to be honest, a whole lot of work had gone on without much happening. And Jesus actually asked to borrow Peter's boat. And so they come out into the kind of just a little bit away from the shore because Jesus is being pushed back by the crowd so that he can teach. And Jesus knows very well that the sea, the water, will actually be a good conveyor of sound. You didn't need a microphone. You just need water to make sound travel, don't you? You've ever done that across a lake? And sound goes further. So Jesus is teaching from Peter's boat. And Peter's listening to Jesus' teaching whilst he's working. And Jesus actually says, Peter, launch out into the deep for a catch. And Peter looks at him, thinks, you're a great preacher, but I don't know about fishing. Yeah. Do you know much about fishing? So already his mind has been challenged. How do you know about my working life? And Jesus is actually showing you how to succeed in your working life. He's showing Peter. So Peter's like listening to Jesus. And from him, he gets this instruction to go back out fishing. Now, you don't fish during the day in the Sea of Galilee. The best time to fish at night. So everything is kind of breaking down his way of thinking. His way of thinking is, I know best. I've done fishing all my life, and I'm the one who could tell you. You're not a fisherman. And so Peter's mindset is being, can you imagine his thoughts? And he said, well, we've worked all night for nothing, but because you say it, and because I remember you healed my mother-in-law, I'll change my thinking and my actions and go out and start fishing. So what happened was, he goes out and gets this incredible catch of fish. Because he does what Jesus says to do, even though it was opposite to what he thought he should be doing. And many times the Lord wants to break down the way you think life works so that you can live his way and live in the blessing of the kingdom of heaven. God's way of doing life is the blessed way. He comes in, he has to get the other boat to help him. The harvest is so massive. They have to get help. And he actually knelt before Jesus. And he recognizes these two miracles point to the truth. That Jesus isn't just an ordinary person. That this is God here. Because he calls him Lord. Now for a Jew to call anybody Lord is tantamount to blasphemy. But he understands that this is the Lord. And he says to Jesus, depart from me, Lord. am a sinner. So here's this moment. And some of us would think he might have had a little mini revival. He might have had such a change of thinking about who Jesus was. He said, "You're holy. Leave me, Lord. I'm a sinner. I'm no good. I'm rubbish. How can I be with you?" Because he understood, because he was taught the truth as a boy, all the way up coming through his life, that God is holy. And God actually can't dwell with sin. And so he's there, and Jesus, he meets God in the person of Jesus, full of grace and truth. And Jesus said, "I want you to change your thinking about me again. Because I'm not here to make you feel bad and push you away. I'm here to pull you into relationship with me. I'm here because I love you and I want you to be with me. And because of what I've done on the cross, I've made it possible for you to have a relationship with me, because I will forgive your sins. But I won't just forgive you. I want you to come into the kingdom of heaven lifestyle. I want you to change your thinking about yourself, that you're no longer a sinner in Christ. And come and follow me. And I will make you into a new person with a new dimension of living, which is the kingdom of heaven." It's like sometimes I think Christians, you know, are a bit like this. If I go to the car wash with my car, and Sainsbury's has quite a good one locally, and if I go to the car wash and take my car through, I have a kind of, you can choose, don't you, whether you want the wax, the wheels, the whole deal, or you just want the economy. And just, if you want to go through with the economy, it just kind of cleans off most of it, but you've still got a few patches that don't look good, and it definitely doesn't shine. But sometimes I think Christians are a bit like that. They think coming to Jesus is having a wash. You're getting clean. But they don't drive out. They just stay there thinking, I've got to keep clean. I've got to keep clean. I've got to keep going, getting clean. And the thing about Jesus is he cleans you up to move you out into new things. In fact, if you come to Jesus, he doesn't just make your car different, better. He actually gives you a new car. He gives you a new life, puts a new heart in you, and enables you to live in a different relationship with God. He doesn't just clean you up. He makes you new. But out of that thinking, we've got to come out of the thinking that it's always about me messing up and getting cleaned up. Jesus wants us to repent so that it's not just from the negative, but into the positive way of life, which is the most exciting adventure ahead of you. So Jesus is saying, not just when we come to Christ, but as we follow him, we need to constantly break up our old ways of thinking. Break up the things you thought about yourself and about God and about the kingdom of heaven. Unless we do, we will only live in what we've already done. But if we will have this mindset change, then we can actually adjust to God's mindset, which is, with God, all things are possible. Which is, God is here and he is here now. In this time, in this place, God is here. And you have to adjust your thinking to be able to come into the life of the kingdom. Yes, we need faith, but your thinking and your faith must work together. Your thinking can put a lid on your faith. The way you think about yourself can shut down your whole life. If you think you're no good, you're nothing, you could never do anything for God, then it will shut down your whole life. And if you believe the negative things that other people have said about you, all your negative experiences of when you failed, if you live in that mindset, you will never come out into the freedom and joy of the life that Jesus has made possible for every single person here. And I can see a smile on his face when he said, repent! The kingdom of heaven is here! Not repent! The kingdom is here! Be serious about it. It is serious business. It's God's business. But whenever God's involved, it's joy-filled. Amen. The climate of heaven is joy, not misery. Amen. And so if you change the way you think, you will experience God. And you'll stop living dependent on your natural person, on natural things. Jesus' view of Christianity is very different to a lot of ours. He thinks possibility. We think, oh dear, I've got a problem. Because we've got this old mindset of, oh no, what can I do? Rather than, oh brilliant, God's here, the kingdom's here, all things are possible. A possibility mindset is a kingdom mindset. A problematic mindset is the old way of thinking, which shuts down a move of God in your life. And so God wants his people thinking according to truth. Because if we limit God, and we therefore limit our thinking about God, we can't experience the greater things that lie ahead of us in his name. The old way of thinking is based actually on sense and reason. Before you and I come to Jesus Christ, we live out our whole lives based on our education. And education is good, but revelation's better. Man's knowledge can be quite good, but the word of God is the best. God's word and knowledge is the knowledge of all knowledge. And before we become Christians, we live our entire lives out through our reasoning. We reason our way through life. We make reasonable choices. We view life from what we have experienced or what our parents taught us or what the culture around us tells us is what's happening. And I believe that God wants us to so change our thinking, to smash it up, break it up. If you just think of your mind, take a sledgehammer to it this morning, which is the word, and let the word smash any wrong thinking so that you can be a heavenly executor of the will of God, so that the life of God can flow through you. The possibilities in your life, if you have Christ in you, are endless. We've been hearing it years. It's time we experience it. We've been saying and quoting John, I think it's 12:14 or 14:12. I get them a bit mixed up. Jesus said, whoever believes in me will do the same works as me and greater still. Well, just think. Change your thinking about your call. Jesus said, whoever believes in me. I believe in him. I believe in Jesus, do you? I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior. He lives in me. I've repented. I'm following him. Will do. Not might do. The same works as Jesus. Not your parents. Not according to your brain. Your capabilities. The same works as Jesus. Oh. Father, let the spirit of faith break down the barriers in this room so that we can lay hold of the amazing vision God has for every one of us here in this room. Let the kingdom of heaven come through us. And so we need to change our thinking. We need to see a breakdown of the old ways of thinking from sense and reason. Senses, when we live by our senses, it's what I think. Oh, sorry, it's what I see, what I hear, what I feel, what I taste, and what I smell. Yeah. Now, before you're saved, that's how you kind of compute through your life. But now the Holy Spirit, God himself, lives in a believer. We've got somebody better than what I feel, what I think, what I taste, what I experience. And he is the solution of everything that you are in currently or facing. And in the future of your life and your family or anybody that you're going to come across, Jesus himself is able to do what your senses can't, what your reason can't achieve. It's not that God is against having a brain. He actually created you with one. But he says what you need is to retrain or renew your mind. Be changed by the renewing of your mind, Romans 12 says. Change the way you think. Right here, not tomorrow, because it won't happen for you if it starts tomorrow. It's got to happen today. You start to view life from a different perspective. God is here, he lives in me, and the kingdom of heaven is here. And therefore, everything is possible. The old way of thinking is often shown in its attitude to life, which is there's never really enough. There's always needs. There's always so much that we can't do. So reason actually says, well, I've got 5 pounds and I can only do that with 5 pounds. God's way of thinking is you give me that 5 pounds and start to distribute it, it will feed 5,000. Do you not think that day there was a bit of a mindset change about the little you have? If you start to give it out, how God is able to multiply and feed 5,000 from one lunch. I don't know about you, but I want to live in this. In fact, I'm saying that this church is going there. Amen. And I want you to be part of it. And I want you to be an agent of change wherever you work, because you change your thinking about who you are and who's here and what's possible for you. Reasoning thinks about problems all the time. Jesus would say, the kingdom's here. We haven't got a problem. We'll just see God's will done here. Which is every need met. Solutions turned around. Things that are impossible are transformed. I want to tell you, Jesus is able to do anything. Not just physical healing. He's able to take the worst mental case. The worst person who's so locked down in a unit that they can't come out. He's able to set them free in one moment. Jesus is able to transform a marriage overnight. Overnight. Jesus is the miracle worker, and he is here right now. He is here. And therefore, anything is possible. And wherever you go, anything is possible. Change the way you think. The world system is fear-based. And we all grew up in that system, actually. We're all trained in, I don't have enough, so I'll just kind of keep it to myself. Hoarding. You know, this whole kind of, no, I can't be generous because I might not have enough. It's fear-based in terms of, gosh, this problem is so big. I'm in such a difficult time. And you might be here this morning and thinking, well, it's all very well. The kingdom of heaven is here, but I'm in a bad spot. I'm in a difficult situation. I believe this is the secret to get you to thinking differently that will change your situation. If you will start to think in line with God's thoughts, then you will see the power of God come into your situation to change it. In 2 Kings 6, we read about a story of a man of God. Now, let me just qualify this. This was a prophet, Elisha, and he was anointed by the Holy Spirit to bring God's word to the nation. Now, every believer now has the Holy Spirit and is anointed. So if you have Jesus in your life, in your heart, You actually have an anointing, not as a prophet to the nation, but you can bring the word of the Lord to anybody you meet, and you can do the same works as Jesus and greater still. So I wouldn't say that God really puts many limits on you if it's the same works as Jesus, greater still. So you can say over your life, no limits. Amen. Cancer, no limits. Amen. Multiple sclerosis, no limits. Disabling diseases, no limits. Whatever trauma is going on in somebody's life, there's no limits here. I feel like I'm preaching to people that are finding this hard. Please don't find this hard. Just take it. It'll bless you if you take it. Don't reason it. Receive it. The kingdom of heaven is here. Jesus is here. Just take it. Take the truth. Don't go, well, I don't feel anything. That's the problem, as you've been trained on your senses not to live by faith. We've got to reorientate our lives to the unseen reality of God's kingdom. Now, this man of God was causing so much trouble that an entire army was sent by the enemy. The enemy army came around and surrounded this city where the man of God was. So you could say he was facing a spot of opposition that day. I don't know yet if you've actually rallied an entire army to come against you. But in the spirit realm, I think we have. I think we've had all kinds of demons and all kinds of spirit beings that have been on the negative side have come against us. But the prophet actually has a servant who's actually got his mind set on the incredible problem of the army. And he's not really thinking about who's there and what's possible. His thinking, and therefore his believing, has gone into, what are we going to do? We're surrounded. This problem is way too big for me. How can we get out of this situation? That might be you today. You're surrounded by so many problems and you're saying, how can I get out of this? And Elijah says, I don't know what your problem is because I don't see a problem. I see solutions. He says, don't be afraid. First of all, that's the command to every one of us in trouble. Do not fear. Don't be afraid. There are more with us than against us. So he is seeing life from a different perspective. The army is here to come against me to destroy me, but God is here and there are many more. Heaven is more powerful than anything the devil is doing. And so my servant, he said, Lord, this guy, I mean, look at him, bless him. He's in a mess. He's crying. He's wailing. He's like, what are we going to do? He's trembling. He can't sleep. He can't eat. It's so bad. He says, Lord, I pray you'll open his eyes to see. So in other words, there is another reality for you to see. You might be facing one reality where your perspective is one way, which is the natural, the reality of your circumstances. But God says you need to come into the unseen God dimension. That Jesus is here and the kingdom of heaven is here. And he says there are more with us than against us. And the servant's eyes were opened at that prayer. That's an answer to prayer, isn't it? Yeah. I pray today, Lord, that everybody in this room, even if they're having a doze currently, will wake up to the spirit realm. The reality of God is here. And therefore all things are possible. In the here and now. And his servant suddenly saw, there are chariots and fire, and he saw the heavenly realm because God's kingdom, his angels, there are 2/3 more angels than demons. We outweigh the devil, even with the angel side. And then there's God. Who made the angels? And he made you. And he is here. You've got nothing to fear. Zero fear this year. Not because you're trying to get yourself to think right, but because of the truth that changes your thinking. The truth of God's word must transform your thinking so that you begin to see life from a different perspective. There are more with us than against us. In other words, I'm on the winning team. I don't know how, but this army, and you know, God struck them with blindness. The whole army went off. Didn't know where they were going, confusion. God is able to dismantle the enemy's attack like that. I love Jesus. I love knowing God. If you don't know God today, accept Jesus and you will. Accept Jesus as your Lord and you will. You'll come into this life of the kingdom of heaven being here and now. In Luke, let's just turn there and I'll finish with this, then we're going to pray. Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. God is really working on my life and us as a leadership. Change it nicely, but change it. In other words, stop thinking the way you've always thought. Well, I've always done it that way. Well, change. Well, my parents did it that way. Well, God's right, they're not necessarily. Unless you're under authority, younger, and then you honor your parents. But most people are here in a place where you are now of an age to say, do you know, I'm responsible for my own thinking. And therefore, I need to train my thinking to be absolutely in line with the Word of God, with the truth of God's Word. And the Holy Spirit works in you all the time to remind you of truth, not to remind you of problems. He doesn't, you know, throughout, when you're praying, he doesn't go into the, well, do you remember how bad it was then? You know, these prophets of doom. I just call them the media. You don't need an anointing to be a prophet of doom. Jesus was not a prophet of doom. And haven't we got to the same ministry as Jesus? Yes, repent. But for the better, because the kingdom's here. There's a better life here. We can all tell how bad it is. I can read a newspaper. And some people read their newspapers more than the word. I felt that one go in. Or storybooks. How about just getting... Just think about that scripture all week. Repent, because the kingdom of heaven is here. And by the end of the week, you should be going like, praise God, heaven's here. All things are possible in this place because God is here. Now Jesus, he returns in the power of the Spirit from spending time being tempted by the devil in the wilderness, 40 days of fasting. And verse 14 of chapter 4, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. May we experience this in our days. In the power of the Holy Spirit. And news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues and everyone praised him. Then he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Isn't this an interesting little... You know, no word in scripture is a mistake. Every word is God-breathed. So Jesus comes to Nazareth, the place where he grew up. Home territory. And he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He lived the life of a Jew, an obedient, kind of godly. He perfectly lived the law, but he lived the life that they did. They were called to live as the Jews. And he stood up to read, and he spoke from the prophet Isaiah. And this always blows my mind because Jesus read the word he gave, and he is the word. The word gave the word. Who gave the word gives the word. He gave the word to the prophet Isaiah. So he gets up. And this is how much he honors scripture. How much do you honor scripture? Huh? What do you think about this book? Because the way we think actually affects our attitude and what we do with what we hear from this book. Our attitude. And Jesus stood up to read and he said, Spirit of the Lord, he found the place where it's written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So he said, basically, I've come, the Holy Spirit has anointed me to do all these amazing things in people's lives, which is a manifestation of the kingdom of heaven. This is the Holy Spirit. He'll bring about the kingdom of heaven in people's lives. People will taste heaven and live in heavenly days. Let's have heavenly days. And he said, he gave it back to the attendant, rolled up the scroll, eyes of everybody was on him. And he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, it's a new administration of grace. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The law came through Moses, but now grace, unearned favor and blessing from God is flowing out of every pore of Jesus Christ. He has come to change the world with his goodness. Amen. And so he says, today it's fulfilled. This is the day I've been waiting for. I want to change the world with heaven. And people will see. People will get healed. The brokenhearted will be mended. The oppressed will be liberated. This is the year of favor. What's favor? This is the time of favor. It means you don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can't work for it. But God freely gives it. That's favor. And verse 22, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. I heard somebody say recently, it was 400 years since they last heard an anointed preacher. It makes me want to weep. And yet they still went to the synagogue because they went to obey God, but there was no anointed person. There was no prophet in the nation. And so Jesus, he brings the word, the anointed word. And something happens in the heart of the people in that synagogue. They hear differently because under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the word comes alive. It's not just, oh, I've got to do this. I know what to do now. I've had church and I need to go and change my mind. It's not quite what Jesus has in mind. He wants you to be inspired to know that yes, if you change your mind, you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit in your life in a new dimension. And so their eyes were fastened on him. They said, these are gracious words. And then they said, and this is where it starts to go downhill, guys. Do you want to know the moment that Nazareth missed out on the miraculous? I always want to know what people did to fail so I can run away from that to succeed. I'd rather learn from other people's mistakes. I've made enough of my own, but I'd rather learn what went wrong so that I can live in what is right. And so this is where it went wrong, these next words. Isn't this Joseph's son, boy? Isn't this just an ordinary person like me? And they began to reason rather than change their thinking about Jesus. Jesus came to give them the opportunity. And I believe he gives this morning, everybody listening to this word, the opportunity to change, to repent. But not everybody will take it up. He came to them and he said, they said, I don't actually believe. I don't accept. You're the guy we grew up with. How could you be so different? And in every move of God, people of God have to start to think differently. In every miracle, you have to start to accept God in a new way, with humility. And we're saying, okay, I'm finding this a bit hard. You might even be here today. I'm struggling a bit with this kind of church. It's a little bit different to what I've known before. But if I will change the way I think, there's a miracle from God for me here today. Because God himself was at this meeting in Nazareth. God himself was there. But they missed him because of the way they thought about him. And Jesus actually said, a prophet is not honored. He went to say, I'll tell you the truth. He said, you'll reject me. And he knew that they were going to reject him. And at the end of this little excerpt, it begins with some amazing preaching and them speaking about gracious words. And verse 29, they wanted to kill him. I could say that their change of thinking about Jesus was so radical that they then wanted to kill him. Can you believe that? They drove him out and wanted to throw him off the cliff. And that's actually, if you don't change your thinking, it's a religious mindset that actually causes death and destruction to the true life of the Holy Spirit. And religious thinking is one of the greatest enemies to the life of Jesus. That's why Jesus didn't go to the religious ones. He went to those who were able to accept, like Peter. You're Lord. You're God. Must be God. You're God. God's here. Not in any fine-sounding loads of theology. God's here. Have you noticed the most simple people get the most miracles? God's here. Let's pray. We'll get a miracle. Rather than, right now, let's try and work out how best to do this. God's here. We can have a miracle. That's where you get the power. Jesus then speaks about the prophet is not accepted in his hometown. You're not going to accept me because you are accustomed to a certain way of thinking. Can we not very quickly become accustomed to a certain way of thinking about the Lord? Sometimes I think we just need the lid off our worship to say, actually, he's a bit greater than what we've yet seen. I was reading Ezekiel chapter 1, and I spoke to the worship team on this on Monday night, and I've been reading about the vision that Ezekiel had of the Lord, and you got wheels and wheels full of eyes and thunder and lightning and beings, and I'm like, do you know what? I haven't yet seen all that, what Ezekiel saw, and yet I'm born again and can see more. But God wants to lift the lid off of your current revelation of who Jesus is. Amen. And unless you change the way you think that there is a greater manifestation or glory of God for us to see, rethink worship. Please rethink. Rethink what happens in worship so that we experience. This is the gate of heaven. This is the gateway of heaven. The church is the gateway of heaven. There's an open heaven here today. God is here. This is an awesome place. It's not an ordinary place. Rethink church. Rethink the body of Christ. Rethink. If you're a Christian, you're awesome in God. The Holy Spirit, God lives in you. You're the dwelling place of the eternal God. Rethink. Break it up. Shake it up. Please, Lord. And so these guys in Nazareth, they became famous for unbelief. But it all started with reasoning. Isn't this just church? Isn't this just worship? Isn't this just the preaching bit? Oh, God is here. Anything's possible. I'm just changing my thinking, Lord, about where I am now in Christ. I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm going to set my mind on things above. I'm not going to be meddling with all the things around me. I'm just going to look to you. And everything can come under the influence of heaven when I'm under the influence of heaven. Amen. When I change, that means I can become an agent of change. Shift your thinking. Change the way you think. Break it up. Shake it up. Don't think everything you've thought before. Let's move into a new season in God. It's the cry of our hearts that we won't just have church, but we'll have the glory of God in the church. It's the cry of my heart that wherever you go, people will get healed and people will come to Christ. That they will hear the good news about Jesus. And you'll say, heaven's here, it's no problem. Let me just pray and God will release something so awesome in your life that it'll never be the same again. You, in God, are amazing. Because God's amazing in you. Thank you, Jesus. And so don't we have to change the thinking? Again and again, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And worship helps us to change. Worship transforms us. When we encounter the Lord, it's like it helps us to see the Lord and to receive from Him. And that's why our worship time together is so important. It's not singing songs. It's encountering Him. We're not just here to sing a few songs and get to the bit where the kids go out. Hallelujah, let's stand.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.